All right, everybody, welcome to episode 15 of Overdunk. This is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Josh Zoinks Hebert, and I am joined by yet another top team in the game today. And this time, I have the ultimate pleasure of having Tassenda on the podcast. What's up, boys?
Yo,
welcome, guys. I love that's probably the best energy we've got on an intro so far. 15 episodes in, this energy is fantastic.
That's our middle name.
I'm really excited to meet you guys. I've seen you in like these last two tournaments as a squad running it up. I've seen a bunch of you in Ladder and all the other Discords and stuff too, but I'm excited to meet you guys as a squad. So why don't we introduce each one of you to the podcast, if people are listening, if you're tuning live in on Twitter. Twitch right now, say hi to everybody. Let's just go around a little bit of round table. I believe Freak, you're in my top circle, so why don't you introduce yourself, what people might know you for, and then what role you play for Team Tassenda.
Alright, I'm Freak. I play pretty much everything in the bot lane for us, to be honest. In our bot lane, we flex quite a bit. Right now I'm on Hoopa duty, though. And then in the last qualifier, we ran Mamoswine the whole time, so I played Mamo through qualifiers.
That's awesome. Okay, yeah, we got to talk about more about that for sure.
Yeah.
I love my Mahout for sure. Lakoting, why don't you go next?
All right, I'm Lakoting. Play the top lane, Lucario, of course. Definitely known for Lucario based most of the time. If I'm not playing anything else, my team says I'm throwing, you know?
They've locked you up in Lucario jail and threw away the key, huh? I think you're not alone.
I'll take it, though.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Cool. All right, Nine, go next.
Man, what can I say, man? It's me, your boy Nine. I'm always live on the Twitch. I'm jungle. It's my best role. If I'm on anything else, it's grief except for attacker. Don't ever catch me on tank. For the love of God, don't catch me on tank. I love Greninja. I love Cinderace. I'm looking forward to playing the Megazord.
Okay. Tournament. Yes, the refrigerator has been added. I think a lot of people are excited. Maybe the most nicknamed Pokemon we've had added to the game so far.
100%. It feels like every other day there's a new nickname for that boy.
Decepticon.
He's
an inhaler.
Yeah, the inhaler's a good
one. Inhaler.
Not many nicknames incorporate the tail, but inhaler does, so that's a good one. AJ, Marantz, how about you go next? Or Mark.
Ayo. I'm Walt Chisney, formerly or now Huge Walt. I had to name change or else we would have been DQ'd.
Took one for the team. I like it.
And I'm our resident support laner or support role.
Cool. Very cool. Sounds like Hoopa got stolen away from you, though. You're on back onto this Eldegoss Hoopa train that I've seen a lot of teams playing. But... Well, you had a glimmer of hope there for maybe 2 or 3 days. But hey, it's there. All right, Kiro, why don't you finish us off?
Alright, I'm the attacker of the team, the last role to fill. If you see me on ladder, it's because I'm trying to hit everyone's elo with Decidueye, even though I'm fine with him.
I've seen more and more teams playing with it, especially this like last week, but okay.
But yeah, so last qualifier, I played Pikachu, Venusaur for the team, and then this qualifier spent it all playing Blastoise. So cool. More reasons to show when Freak said that like we're a flexible bot lane. We're just very versatile with our like Triforce synergy.
Oh, a Triforce synergy. That is a good token. Stealing that for a cast, by the way. I'm absolutely going to use that while showcasing your team. But that is fantastic. Okay, the hero pick sounds like it's definitely a core part of your squad. I'm excited to get into that definitely later. But let's get just a little bit flash from the past. Let's just get some history of Team Tassenda. So when did this team kind of form, Freak? I know that you're kind of the origin of this team. How did it form? Like, how long ago? And then how new is this squad of five members on your team?
All right, so we started, I know me and Walt were originally like the first two in the server. It was just my idea. We're gonna start a team because I took a break. I played since launch, and then I took a break when I got into college, took like a 2 or 3 month break, and then when I came back, I found Walt as actually a jungle main, and
Forced him into LD jail.
Yes, we played a stack and we needed an Eldegoss, and Walt said he'll play, and then I never let him get off of Eldegoss ever again. Because back I used to play Venusaur, so he'd just stick on me. So I had LD trust issues, and now I don't have to have issues anymore.
Oh, but pour one out for Walt, guys. That one game on LD forever locked in.
Walt, how many games you got on LD now? Like, a lot.
I went from Cinder's my second most played with like 490 something, and looked for LD's around 1500 now.
Okay. Yeah, what's pretty crazy.
The pivot was hard. All right.
Yep. Yeah. It was a 360. Oh, but yeah, so me and Walt, we've been playing for a while now. I'd say since the beginning of season 2, at least.
Cool.
And then I played with Kiro and 9 both in the season 2 for a little bit. 9 was on 1KD.
That's right.
I know we had like a pretty cool like, I don't know, connection, I guess, the first time we played. And then Kiro was on.
Because, it's because you did wrestling, bro. I saw the wrestling profile picture and I was like,
yep,
this boy does martial arts too. I'm going to have to fight him one day, even though I'm going to get my ass washed.
Yes. When eventually we get to LAN, I definitely want to see a Tessendo wrestling. That's a good piece of content totally right there for the stream. I'm into it.
And then we met. So that's not when 9 joined. We had talked about it. I had talked to him. I was like, yo, I mean, we might need a jungler in the near future. And so we kind of sparked the idea back then. And then Kiro was the attacker for Egg. And we played against Egg in tourneys quite a bit with our old squad. And I ended up playing with Egg for a little bit at the end of season 2 as well, just for ladder stuff. And I knew, like, Egg kind of took a little bit of a break, and I knew Kiro was looking for something else. And so I hit Kiro up when that happened. And I think in terms of, like, formation, I think Kiro joined third or fourth. And then Lakoding was somebody we actually picked up from we had a team that we were starting, like, a sister team, sort of.
Okay.
But some of them were under age, so they could not do worlds. And Lakoding wanted to do worlds. And so what we did was we took Lakoding from that team. And then we have a team now that is primarily just people that can't compete in worlds. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was kind of the formation. Yeah.
That's
the
awesome.
Junior team.
The junior team. Yeah. Truly an academy league Tessenda team. That's awesome. Yeah. And what's the name of? So you're just straight Tessenda. Is that Tessenda Black? Is that what Okay.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yep. Awesome. We are Tessenda Black, and then they are Tessenda Purple.
Purple. Okay. Right, very cool. Yep. I like it. Those are two really good color options, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of teams pick some whack color options for their A and B team. I think black and purple.
Hold up. We got a pretty fire third. We got a pretty
fire third. Yeah, we actually just have a huge, pretty big announcement. I was waiting for the end, but not.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, wait till the end.
Nine can't hold back, man.
We actually just had the Los Migos hit us up that they wanted to join. So the Los 5 Migos are now part of Tessenda. They are Tessenda Rosa now.
Oh my word. Tessenda Rosa is a good name. I see some of them in chat, by the way. Yo guys, Los 5, if you are in the stream and don't know who this team is, they're a fantastic team to watch. Go check them out.
Super fun.
Yeah. Me and my co-caster Dupesnex commentated their like rush game recently against 5 Guys, which, by the way, I'm so glad you renamed this team, because Los 5 Amigos versus 5 Guys was a horrific cast, I tell you. So I'm so glad you got that name change in there. Yeah. Good job, guys.
That's funny.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for telling me the story of Tessenda. That's really cool. You slowly picked up this team after coming back on the scene, Freak. Sounds like you got yourself a fantastic squad around you.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to you and your whole squad, by the way, at back-to-back qualifications through these Road to World Championships. These qualification runs have been pretty fantastic for you guys. I was looking through your March one recently. Pretty much 2-0s across the board until you sort of found a loss near the end. But, a really... A really sick run through the tournament. So we'll get into more of that stuff for sure later in the show. What I want to do right at the start of it, right at the front, I need to get to the super important stuff. I need to know the ins and outs of your team. We got the intros. We know who you are, but I don't really know who you are, right? So just out of the way, who's the biggest inter on your squad?
Raise your hand. You know who you are. Come on. Come on. Own up to it.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well,
wow, I was excited for this. Wow.
We talked about a wrestling match. I don't know if that's necessary anymore. Nine has just been called out. If you were listening in podcast land, yes, Nine has raised his hand.
Yeah, I do a lot of ego things.
Yeah, yeah. He likes to, especially Endgame, he likes to actually turn off his ears. And so he will ask me to say his name multiple times. And even if I do, he still will not listen. So
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of clips, but, you know, we don't have to get into it.
There is evidence.
A lot of clips of free.
Whoa.
Mainly one.
Yeah, there is one. First day on Hoopa, give me a break.
Yeah, everybody's first day on Hoopa was a roller coaster, for sure. That Pokemon was wild when it entered. But, okay, so I like to give the opportunity. Nine, you definitely got thrown under the bus, whether it was Freak saying it or you raising your own hand.
We went over this already.
Fair enough. VOD review sessions have just been a lot of yelling at Nine, apparently. But Nine, I want you to have the chance to answer this question first. Who's the low-key carry on the team? Who's Walt, the silent strong? Okay.
Yes. 100%. Yes.
That's my number one right there, bro. This man, I will be shitting my pants, about to die on 1 HP, and then I see my shining fucking northern star above me, leading me home, fucking Eldegoss above me, and he's like, Nine, I'm above you, and I'm like, oh, I'm saved.
My word, I really have to be writing all these things down for cast, because Whoa. North Star for a Cotton Cloud crashes, an amazing night move. Yo, that is quite the shout-out, Walt.
Walt is definitely an underrated support player in this scene. I don't think a lot of people understand how much he does and actually how good he is at the game, how smart he is. So
Well, it's tough when you have a name change from something so legendary like Walt Chisney, right? It's tough to rebuild that brand. I hear you. I hear you. Okay. All right, guys. And I like to ask this question too. Who's got the best vibes on the team, you know? Who's pulling the tilt back? You know, who's resetting the mental between rounds? Who's kind of the captain of emotions on the squad?
We already know who is it.
I think it's between two people.
Walt.
It's between Kiro or our manager, shout out to him, Icy Icy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's between them two.
Right, you don't think I'd be pulling the mental back? <of him? laughs> You're right. Usually I'm the one bringing it down, and I'm mute and deafened, so I don't have to hear you guys yelling at me. Never mind.
I just DC from the call and lay in my bed, bro.
Oh, man. All right. Well, if you guys got a coach, that's maybe the first thing we need to work on. It's a little bit of conflict resolution. But you guys will pick it up.
A little bit.
No problem. Yeah. It'll be fine. Okay, cool. I love that. Hey, but shout out to your manager, too. So you guys have an official manager of Icy. I see them in chat hanging out, by the way. Hi, Icy. Talk to me about what a manager does in terms of Pokemon Unite right now. Not too many teams can boast that they have one of those on staff.
So what Icy's doing for us right now is he has been reaching out to potential sponsors, other orgs and stuff like this. Cool. And he is also in charge of getting us scrims, whether he likes it or not, and kind of keeping our mental together right now. So
I hear ya.
Yep.
Okay, very cool. Well, yeah, shout out Icy. Yeah, much love going that direction. But yeah, finding scrims is not an easy task. I understand why they're not wanting to do it. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth trying to make schedules work with everybody. But okay, very cool. Well, let's jump into the game, shall we? You guys just had a sick run through the March finals that we were talking about. You're now qualified for the top 16 twice in a row. Let's talk a little bit about your game. So I'm going to bring it up on stream, and then I'll also share my screen if you guys want to see what I'm looking at. It's just the bracket, though. Let's talk about these games. You had a first round bye, but then in the next four games in a row, you were facing against TLZ, My Buddy as a Shield, Eclipse, and Classified. All four of these games were 2-0. We'll talk about maybe some specific games that stood out to you guys in just a second. The first thing I need to just ask for my own curiosity, mostly, I heard the words Mamoswine, I heard the words Blastoise, I heard Decidueye thrown around, but mostly as a threat from Kiro, I think. but talk to me about the Mamos. Let's start with the Mamoswine bot lane. What was going on in that lane?
So I was the first one. So I role switched as soon as we found this team. I pretty much flexed anything. And so I decided I was going to stick with Defender.
Okay.
And I saw not a lot of people playing other Defenders. And that's kind of like how we roll. We don't really like sticking to the meta necessarily. Okay. And so
And actually, let me. Sorry, I just want to stick on that point for a sec. You don't like sticking in the meta. Is that because you value the versatility of your players, how strong you are? Do you value the surprise factor going in against other teams, not being prepared for you? What is kind of the angle you like of taking off-meta picks?
I think it's kind of a combination of both, right? So nobody really plays against these Mons on ladder or even in scrims at all. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's probably a total of 3 Mamoswine players. And so that was one thing. But also, we have, like, our bot lane can play a lot of different things. And so it's super helpful. And it was super fun playing Mamoswine. Last qualifier, we 2-0'd our whole way through the qualifier. So that was pretty cool. And then this tournament, we picked up Blastoise we picked him up in midweek. We tried him out in a scrim session there was a little controversy there. They didn't really like us playing it because they didn't think we'd play it in tourney, but and then we
so who was on the Blastoise pick too?
That was Kiro.
All right, Kiro, talk to me about Blastoise.
Honestly, I forgot the reason why we were even doing it. We did it because it was a cool idea to have Blastoise as an attacker and go rapid spin Hydro Pump. So it's like not super like protect, but like, you know, we did it. It worked. It's like the laning, like when we go through laning phase, I deal with what I have. And then in the late game team fights, Blastoise ult is actually very like destructive, especially if they don't have a Wigglytuff.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. If you have Blastoise's Unite move unlocked, like, I really do think that there's certain Pokemon on the edge of being in the meta, and the only thing holding them, like, the only thing even bringing that up that high in the tier list is their Unite move. And I think Blastoise is easily one of those. That is such a gigantically strong Unite move that, if you get to just have that in pocket, that seems really, really huge. What would be your other option? Like, if this tournament wasn't going so well, all these 2-0s in your favor, like, what would be your flex back? Would it just be to the Venusaur or something like that? Or do you have another kind of attacker pick besides Blastoise that you would have ran?
I think so. I don't know if we would have went back to the Venusaur, because I think the thing that made the Blastoise work was that I could allocate a lot of my farm to our jungler and top laner more, and I could still do a lot of damage in the fights with the little amount of farm that I had. So if we did have to switch to something, it probably would have been to Pikachu, because that's like the least amount of farm needing attacker, but it's like I'm already doing a lot with the little farm that I have. It's just like if something messed up, then it's like, okay, I need to look for some more experience elsewhere, or I need to like fortify whatever I'm doing wrong more. Because rapid spin kind of like you can just do whatever you want. And because everyone's spamming slow smoke, rapid spin doesn't care about that. So there's like a lot of people that like would use it to like try to catch me out. And it's just like, nah, I'm spinning away.
I just Beyblade off to my base. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. Okay, cool. I like that idea. Normally, we consider a triple stage evolution Pokemon like Blastoise one that you really need to scale, but when you're opting into an experience share lane, when you're able to split that kind of thing, not as big of a problem. Really, really interesting. Lakoting and 9, did you find as the other two players who were getting fed a little bit more because of this change, did you find it was a big boon to your team? Did you find yourself having a little bit more experience, especially in these endgame situations compared to normal?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. Okay. I was big on the Blastoise as well before, just because of the Unite move. Like, team fight wise, the way we fought in team fights, we would win every single team fight we fought if we fought a team fight for sure. I think me and Nike, since we felt the difference. Like, we had a lot of experience late game. There was no problem getting 13 or like getting our Unite power spikes at all.
Very cool.
I don't feel like there was much of a difference for me. I feel like there was more of a difference for like the team overall though. Mainly because like I just end up landing on like 14 or 15 at the end of the game anyways, because of like jungle and all that.
What jungler are you opting into right now in this tournament? Were you 9?
I was on the Cinder the whole time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Cinder, a Pokemon that's going to get a ton of value out of a Blastoise Unite as well. Just because they're airborne doesn't mean you have to stop auto-attacking them, right? So you can just keep A button pressing for a good time. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, I think with Hoopa, Blastoise was actually a lot better as well, because what I would do was we would find their carry in a team fight, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't be expecting it. So I would flash ult on them, and then here comes Kiro through the portal with his ultimate and into five of them. So
if
they didn't have a Wiggly, it was not fun for them, I would say.
No, not at all.
Oh. No.
Yeah, the Hoopa Unite move is also quite strong. So, yes. Yeah. Those two being used in conjunction means a ton of value is coming your way. Okay, awesome. So, we're taking a look at the bracket right now, too. We're seeing your first four games here. We're all 2-0s in this situation. Do any of these games stand out to you guys? Any specific moments? Any of these, were they a little bit closer than the scoreline shows? Or did you sort of feel that you were in the driver's seat the whole time to send a kind of had this game in the bag even from the get-go?
I think we were smooth sailing up until Classified.
Yeah, there was one game on Classified. Yeah, first game, Classified. We were super far behind, actually. I actually think we only had one or two pads up in the first game. But
game one.
Yeah, playing from behind is something that Blastoise is actually super good at as well. So that actually helped us quite a bit. And they went for a back cap at Zap.
Play.
Yeah, and we were there jumping on him and killed him, and then, that was the end of that. But the second game was
shout out to my boy Jaster, though, on Classified. they were putting in some work, man. They were putting in some
absolutely.
Work.
Yeah, yeah, I think one sign of anything is that, like, a lot of people will be looking at these, like, giant brackets and being like, okay, like, where are the games that matter? I'm just going to be watching these top 16s. But, I mean, if anything, we're seeing more and more evidence that that's not going to be the case soon enough. Mm-hmm. Like, teams are getting better and better. I think a lot of people were doubting if the scene would grow with these large tournaments. Like, are we going to get the attendees? I was doubtful myself, but I seriously think we're getting a lot more teams forming up, getting stronger. We're just getting more people interested in Unite and competitive-wise, too, which is always going to be exciting. Makes your job as players more challenging. Not envious of you guys, but you are still able to pull it off and qualify for this next big tournament. All right, let's talk about this next game. You were up against LeGo, the number one seed, another team that had made it to that top 16 in the February tournament. You guys have made it there as well with that number 9 seed. You did end up going down 2-1, a close scoreline. Talk to me about what happened in this game.
These guys just have our number always, I feel like. In the finals, the exact same thing happened.
Same
we
thing.
Went up 1-0, and they came back 2-1. They actually might be one of the teams with the most, like, they pull out some weird stuff, man.
Every game was something different.
Yeah, they'll play the first game pretty normal, and then those next two games are just
drag you in.
Yeah, those next two games is when the weird stuff comes out. They adapt and
okay. Talk to me. I need to know. I haven't gotten to see this team actually play. What are these weird things you're talking about?
So, all right,
you got it. Go
like
for it.
Dual lane top with Blissey Lucario.
Okay,
it's pretty much like a like their version of like score comp. I feel like that they run.
Okay,
Rotom Gaming.
However, not to say that those games weren't close. I feel like we had the potential to win those both last games.
We did.
If it wasn't for a Wigglytuff sitting in the bottom L bush that I didn't know was there that I face
with rollouts
and I
with rollouts.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let me paint the scenario here. This is like game 3, right?
No, this is game 2. This is the game 2.
Game 2.
Okay.
This is game
so there's like three people that show top because we're trying to go in through top, and I'm like, okay, like they showed top three people. I have confidence that they'll keep the Wiggly up there. Like, all right, there's going to be four people up there, and there might be a fifth too. So I'm like, I'm going bottom. I'm getting positioning down bottom in the L bush because I don't want to be like first person up there. And then I just see a Wiggly sitting there. And like, I'm pretty sure you might be able to see it on the stream, but like my eyes go like wide and I like freeze up for a second. And then all of a sudden I just start getting bonk, 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 bonk. And like, bro.
The Wigglytuff blender is a terrifying element of those Zapdos team fights, for sure. Yeah, you found yourself in a rough spot. Okay, so they had Wiggly and Blissey, right? Like, just split up in multiple lanes. All right, okay. And that was the second game where everything started to go wrong. Okay. Yep. Then game 3, you guys are 1-1. I mean, things aren't looking awful, but you did have some pretty interesting situations to have the loss. Yeah. What was the going into game 3?
I think we're pretty good. Yeah,
okay. Okay. Good. That's good. Okay.
That was actually one of the first times. I mean, you know, I was playing on spring break, so my mental was good the whole time. we were good going into game 3, which was probably one of the first times we've lost the game and been okay with it, to be honest.
Okay.
we knew that we could clean some stuff up. And then in game three, it came down
I
to
a... I made a bad call.
Yeah, you know, so normally I'm the shot caller. I'm the shot caller. And but I'm really, like, ready to go at all times. And so Nine was like, they're not in pit. Should we rip it? And I was like, let's do it. And then we all went for it. And, you know, we got a little unlucky.
I overestimated how much damage we could do in the short amount of time.
It was, you know, we'll clean it up.
Eventually. It happens. You know, you try to flip and rip, and sometimes, you know, the luck gods just aren't in your favor. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that was your winning in two, which is tough. But I think also how this bracket worked out.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
wasn't quite sure. We still partied after the loss, so you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Talk to me. Can you? Someone explain why that was the case?
I'm not really sure why we played that. I guess it was for seedings, but yeah, I don't know.
This still didn't make sense for the seeding purposes because it's 12 people come out, right, and 4 are already like from the last monthly. So it's like 6 are in winners, 6 are in losers. How do you seed that?
I feel like they seeded it with people in the losers bracket got paired up against the top 4.
Yeah, I don't know.
Most,
I'm not really sure.
Most in the losers.
Probably. Do you earn championship points for these qualifiers?
Yeah, no.
No.
Only top
16, I think.
No, you still earn points. It's just you get way less because I think the people that don't make it in the top 16 get like 10 is like really low points.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Well, then maybe that's what it was for. It, just to find out the distribution of CP could be. But okay, hey, a game that didn't matter that was that close of a game came down to a couple last minute calls. You're right. There's not too much to be to be upset about, I think. But so, all right, awesome. You guys have qualified. You were entering into the top 16 very soon here, guys. How has the how's the preparation been for going into your second monthly finals now? Let's face it, your last showing in the February finals wasn't exactly what your team wanted, but you're going into a new tournament coming up next. Are you guys scrimming a bunch? Are you doing VOD review? What's the preparation look like going into the March finals tournament?
Lots of scrims.
Okay.
We actually have VOD reviews planned after this podcast.
It'll actually be our first VOD review we've officially done, other than like your individual team. I individually look over my own VODs and watch other people's VODs.
I do a lot as well.
Yeah, same. We all kind of like VOD review on our own time, but we need to do it together at some point.
Yeah, well.
Fair
enough. I mean, it sounds like you're making the time to do that. That's awesome. So now the transition's come. Is that because it's just your second tournament? Things are looking really up for your team? Is it... are you guys just starting to take it more seriously now? Is it people just have the time more so now? What's it looking like? What's the energy like in the Descenda camp?
Oh, we got energy.
High energy always, bro. But
yeah, maybe that was the wrong term to use, but okay.
I don't know, man. Last month we kind of bombed hard in the finals.
Okay.
And I feel like that was a lot of pressure from the sponsorship offer we had that fell through.
I see.
It fell through after the finals. But I feel like during that talk, it built up a lot of expectations, especially 2-0-ing everybody in bracket before the finals, like coming off of the high of beating Sanji's team, Glitch.
Yeah. You were the one that knocked them down to losers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was just I feel like there was an immense amount of pressure to us. And, you know, we dropped, it was the same situation with LEGO. We dropped 1-2 to LEGO and then... We got put into losers bracket, and we dropped to 1KD, who ended up being a top 18. I love those guys.
We 2-0'd 1KD.
We literally played them in scrims literally the night before to help them against Full Send, because we really wanted them to beat Full Send. So we tried helping them out as much as we could.
All right.
And then we ended up just dropping games to them.
Our mental was bad that tourney, though. You know, it was the first week we... losing a game. I'm not the best alpha loss.
I think that was our first tournament together with me on the team as well, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. Qualifiers was first, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it sounds like, I think the situation around February, it sucks, let's be honest. But hey, you guys are retooled, re-geared up for this next tournament. I'm really excited to watch your team. I think Descenda Black in this tournament is going to be a fantastic squad to watch. Oh, yeah. You're going to be starting up, like you said, it's going to be a tougher spot. You're going to be going up against probably one of these top 4 teams. Talk to me, in the top 4 we had from February, we of course have GG, we have, or TTV as they're more well known. We got Full Send, we got the the other GG, we got Gengar Goons, and then remind me the last team that is qualified through last time.
Blackhand.
Blackhand. Yeah. Their name change too has been absolutely throwing me as well. But okay, out of those four teams, who would you most want to be paired up first round?
We kind of already see there's a bracket floating around.
Yeah,
there,
okay.
So
I was looking for that for the show, and I couldn't find it in time. And I was just like, but yeah, if you find it,
We're not too sure. Lakota, you want to send it to him?
Yeah,
we're not too sure how real this is, but if it is, we like where we're at with it. We'll say that.
I'm very, very confident with where we're at. If that's the case,
if you want to pull that up.
Yes, I will pull this up.
Oh yeah,
sounds great. Oh
Full,
man,
I forgot. Full Send is Rebel now. I forgot they did that too.
Are also signed. Okay, I'm going to now bring this up. Okay, here we go. We're looking at it. Okay, so let's talk about where you guys are thinking of. You're going up against Team Shiny. Okay, so Team Shiny, recently name changed to Blossom due to just, unfortunately losing their sponsorship, but hey, they still have the same roster that they have. I guess one change now, right? Mike Spam being their support player now instead of Feppy. How you guys feeling about Shiny as a first-round matchup?
I think we like it. I mean, I know these these boys played Shiny in a tournament. What tournament was that, Walt? With
it was the
Mount Moon one?
No, it was the Unite Masters. It was a Mountain Moon. It was Unite Masters.
And Arcway Gaming one.
Yeah, and we didn't have
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
We didn't have, I wasn't there, and I don't think Nine was there as well, right?
And we played with two subs, and Kira had to leave
near the end.
Yeah, and so...
I had to go see a movie.
They did pretty good, so...
Sorry, that's my favorite reason for dropping a tournament ever.
Hey, someone give him the Walt. I'm playing mom clip, bro.
Oh my god,
I'm working
during the.
We don't need to bring that clip, bro.
Well, it's like I'm still employed by them. Please don't bring that one.
Don't show my mom.
I am actually a little bit upset though that Shiny lost Rin though.
Well, they're not
for this tournament.
Not for this tournament.
Oh, yeah, this tournament. Yeah. Really. No, I think he said after this tournament.
Yeah, I think it's a good chance Rin stays too if they get re-sponsored. Like if they find another sponsor for their team, I'm pretty confident they will stay as a squad.
That makes me look a lot more makes me look forward to the match a little bit more, because I was really excited to play their full roster.
It's gonna be an exciting game. Right now, like, if you were just a little bit of ego here in the pod, but do you guys think you are a better team than them right now, or do you think you're kind of in an even matchup, or do you think you still have to catch up to Shiny a little bit?
I feel like we're even.
Okay. I think
as big as my head really is.
I think we're even. I gotta say, I think we're better. Sorry.
Okay. I mean, hey, don't have to apologize for that. If you genuinely think
you're listen,
not,
listen
yeah,
the
come
cat,
on, nine,
the
come on,
here,
nine,
bro.
We come on, nine,
we do.
Yeah, I would definitely put Shiny in that pool of teams that we would like to face first, because that seems more like not easier to win, but it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
We like the matchup. Yeah, when
if me and Lakota have good mental, we're washing.
Always washing. What do you mean?
Oh, awesome. Hey, if Mamoswine Blastoise shows up in, actually, I don't know if Blastoise is going to be banned for this tournament. I guess it depends. The bugs in this bugs in this game have been pretty tragic. But okay,
just hold the R button.
If you take that win over Shiny, which if we're projecting, you're going to be going up against Blackhand, so against this Ascendant squad, another really tough squad. They've been dropping a few more games recently, maybe some cracks in the armor, but yeah, another tough matchup after that. I mean, you have them, and then Full Send, and then, maybe not Full Send, maybe Tascenda Rosa. If you
imagine,
dude, Tascenda matchup in this side of the bracket would be hype. I would be pumped. Okay, cool. Yeah, you guys, I mean, the one really big thing that you can write home to the bank is that you don't have Gaming Gladiators in your side of the bracket. That's always going to be a boon.
Yep.
You're always going to enjoy that. That team's been bringing new things to the table as well. And then, of course, every time they do, they influence the meta. So it's always going to be a challenge to play that squad. We know that, but you also have some pretty formidable teams in your side of the bracket. But I'm not saying you are not one of them. Tsenda, definitely a threat. I think teams are going to have to genuinely prepare for you guys, but we talked about at the start of the show, that's becoming harder and harder to do.
That's not going to, yeah, it's a little easier said than done for what we got coming out.
Because of the fact that I agreed with Freak here that we're better than them, when we get to round two of winners, We've been eyeing Ascendants dropping more games like Hawks, man.
And now they don't. Overlord's not playing in this tournament, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. I heard
Overlord not being there is a big number.
Definitely helps us a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'd say that.
Yeah, Lakoting, as the top lane player, is Overlord one of those players that you like that you watch to try to learn weird secret Lucario techs? Do you have like any other specific ones, or do you kind of make up your own? Do you have your own shockboard?
Have my own. Okay. So I would say I'm one of the more underrated Lucarios. I was just never there. You know, in the very beginning.
Yeah.
So, there's times I, like, look into, it, like, a little bit of, like, you know.
You gotta look at what the Overlord. Other camps are doing, for sure. I hear you.
Yeah, but, like, I've always done, like, my own thing. I've always just, Lucario's just been, like, my own experimental thing on what I do, like, anything. I've always been an E-Speed player, by the way.
Okay.
Like, even from the beginning of the game, I played E-Speed.
E-Speed's hype. But, it's more fun.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I found it more fun anyway, so... That's but awesome. Yeah, I've always done like my own thing, but I've definitely scouted. Like once I got maybe closer to the team, you know, mm-hmm. when I want to be more competitive, I would definitely start looking to like top Lucarios.
Sure. I mean, once you start looking at top Lucarios, you're looking to try to improve your own play, but you're also looking for that mm-hmm. counterplay, right?
For sure.
The way the meta's played out, at first I was pretty turned away by the 1-1-3 meta. I was like, okay, I mean, it's just kind of a death ball in the bottom lane. It's not as fun. A bit of a handshake at the top lane, but I think the more and more you watch competitively, the 1-on-1 Lucario exchanges are super fun. To me, like there's like mm-hmm. a lot of skill expression between those two Pokemon despite the survivability, but skill expression is more than just finding KOs, and I always think that's an exciting gameplay to watch. But I do think you are also one of the underrated Lucarios. You're also, I tuned into a fair amount of the Senda streams. I really enjoy watching you guys play. Lakoting, you are definitely one of the more vocal top lane players I've ever seen. Like you are one of the like best commers.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
compared to people like OG who don't speak at all.
Yes. No. OG's keeping secrets. I know he is. And we'll find him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Cool. Okay. Awesome. So I like this bracket for you guys. I think it's going to be, and it's an exciting tournament. I'm just looking at this bracket already gets me like hyped. I would love to cast this, by the way. Pokemon Esports Engine, hit me up, please. But this is looking like a fantastic event. I'm really excited for these games.
Hey, if this means anything, vouch.
Oh yes, yeah, I love that. hey, come on now.
Hey, man.
It meant something to me. This guy. And that's important.
Not this guy.
Exactly. Not me,
averaging 6 viewers a stream.
Hey, let's get it.
But I am one of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, cool, guys. So I'm interested about this. We've talked a little bit about meta already, though. Let's discuss it a bit more in depth, maybe overall. You guys have your own weird place in the meta. I'm interested about just kind of the general thoughts, though, especially because we have a new Pokemon already added to the game. I feel like Hoopa was just a minute ago, already shifted up the meta a lot, found a place originally as a support, moved to an attacker role, but now we have the fridge, the inhaler, the vape, the tower. The robot, the Decepticon, like they're everything. We now have Duraludon added to the game. Very strong Pokemon, finding a lot of value off the start already, people. It's a big threat, this Pokemon. Do you guys think that it is already a must pick? Like, if you're not playing this in tournament, you're trolling? Mm-hmm. Or is it a little bit tuned down? Is it just good and you can play it? Or are people totally huffing the Duraludon copium? This is not a good Pokemon.
This thing is legit. It's okay. Legit.
Beast. Oh my gosh, it's a beast.
Okay, Pokemon Unite, Lords and Gods, please make Aegislash good. I love that Pokemon so much. But okay, yes, Duraludon is looking sick. Talk to me about move compositions. You guys on that still throughout Pulse Train, the Tail, the Tower Defense? Where are you guys sitting?
I feel like both Dragon Pulse and the Turret are pretty good. Mm-hmm. Turret is crazy. It allows me to play Team Deathmatch like Call of Duty. I pretty much just I LARP as a sentry turret from
yeah,
COD.
Wait, Team Deathmatch. I'm like, you're playing Bloons, dude. You
set up room playing Bloons Tower Defense.
My favorite. He plays Torbjorn. He just plays the turret down from Overwatch.
But it's just yourself.
Yeah, I feel like Dragon Tail is the must go to, even if you're playing Dragon Pulse. I mean, the mobility and the defensive aspect of it is just like so good.
Yep, second eject button on a crazy low cooldown is nice. I agree.
Yeah,
and it's a nice ability for
having
sure.
Two of those too. So you could just like flip.
Yeah,
it's a knockup, man. I think so. It's so good.
Yeah, this Pokemon's crazy, dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah. These Pokemon, man. But okay, sweet. So that Duraludon, you are preference into the turret. The rest of the team, when Nine picks this turret, do you feel that he's throwing your games, or is that
a
good move?
Say this is the best mon I've ever seen Nine play. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay,
The
first two games we played. I mean. The first 2 days we played with it. Now that the game's bugged, we've been struggling to get games in. But you know,
sure.
he's been doing pretty damn good.
Okay,
so we'll
I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. Walt, as you're back on LDJL, sorry, but we got to talk about it. This Leaf Tornado ability you have in the game, pretty busted move, gives you that blind effect. Are you finding?
Yes.
I know you haven't played as much. Are you finding that you need to like hunt Duraludons down to blind them late game? Like that feels like one of the only things in my mind that you could really counter this mon with. Because yes, he's kind of squishy, but like he has so much range, it doesn't matter that much. Like if you want to collapse on that Pokemon, you need to collapse on that Pokemon. And as an Eldegoss player, how have you found ways to try to fight against the fridge?
I think my answer is biased because every team fight I'm just gonna look for Nine anyway because he needs his goddamn LD. Otherwise, yeah. He is going to be the first one to die every single fight.
He's looking for the green Duraludon, not the red Duraludon.
For sure. Okay, so yeah, when those endgame team fights, you're less worried about offense, more worried about...
It's keeping my carries alive, 100%.
The other Eldegoss got blinding wall too. He's a killer with that A press.
Good to hear. Yes, A button pressing is good. Yeah, it's crazy you have Cramorant Unite move just on cooldown, which is great. That's all they need.
Yeah.
That's what they need to give that Pokemon
so
to be viable. Yeah, it is strong for sure. Okay, so I know you guys haven't been able to play the game as much as you would have liked. And let's talk about it. This update may have been the worst update in terms of bugs to the game. Maybe just because they're so tragically bad for every person who plays. The game's crashing like crazy. If anybody's been on the game recently, you know that this is happening. This is a lot worse in my mind than just like a really strong Pokemon, because then just play that Pokemon, whatever, stop whining. But if this situation, like, yes, it is rough right now. We have a tournament. We have tournaments every weekend, but we have the actual big, you know, March finals, not this weekend, but the next. How likely do you guys think that this patch we get an emergency fix before that happens?
I don't think it's going to happen, but
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, knock on wood for sure. But anybody else, any more hopefuls in the podcast?
I feel like I hope they would do something at least right before, but if they don't, then I'm going to be sad to see the finals end up being rescheduled.
I have faith that they're going to fix their game in the next week, by the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If they can nerf Sylveon in like 2 seconds after release, they can see that their game is broken
hold on.
And if Blastoise can be bugged for a whole season, I believe.
Yeah.
And
let me just blow
and
off the
I
dust
busted.
Of that ancient history you just came up with. Ah, yes. The time that Sylveon was hotfixed and never happened again. Yes.
Yeah.
Never I do remember again. That time.
But then they let Dragonite run rampant for an entire
Greedent.
Season.
And
Greedent. Oh, God. Don't
Greedent
get started on that.
Sure. All right. Well, there's stuff to complain about in game, but I felt like we just had to talk about it, right? Like it's such a big thing that's going on. But let's move into just a little bit more of a long term focus for you guys as Team Tsundere. You're one of three teams now. Hype! Shout out. We got Tsundere Black, Purple, and Rosa. There's definitely some cool branding things that you guys can do as a team to grow. I'm really excited to see what Tsundere can turn into. But the grind for Worlds is officially on. I mean, we're now our second tournament in. You guys haven't played together that long, but this is another huge chance for you guys to prove yourselves. is the grind starting to set in at all yet? I know August for Worlds is close, but it's still, there's a lot more tournaments to be played. When you look at that, is it kind of daunting, as exhausting, or does that excite you guys as a team?
I feel like it excites us 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always ready to go. I'm still young, so.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are, at least speaking for myself, and I guess Free, because we're kind of like the same person almost.
Yeah.
We're pretty damn excited, you know?
We both wrestle. Yeah. Therefore, same person.
Therefore, we are
We got the energy, man.
We know how to party really hard. We do martial arts.
Okay, cool. Good. Oh, I love it. Yeah. No, we definitely, there's going to be, I don't know. Okay, I don't know if you guys have watched too much of Unite Mike's commentary. Anybody listening, but Doofsnax is my co-caster. He's been around in the Pokemon community for a long time. He's done TCG commentating and stuff like that. Doofsnax is a little bit legendary in that community, by the way, for throwing one of the best after parties for like the U.S. national tournament ever. Like we had, like he booked out a bar, got like drink specials and everything. It was so hype. Guys. London's gonna be lit. Like right, we're gonna have a wicked.
You got freak type. Look at him right now.
Yeah, dude, the Unite Mike's after party, guys, is gonna be a good spot.
If we can land some more spots, I'm not saying I'm not confident getting into there, but if we could land some more spots for NA and EU to get into Worlds, that would be kind of nice.
All right, solid transition. 9, you are now a podcaster. Let's talk about this. So there's been a petition going around on Twitter, signed by a few players. And 9, I know you've been vocal about it on social media.
Absolutely.
You guys have been pretty upset that NA is only getting the 2 spots. I know a lot of people, there was more roster or more spots on that world's list for just kind of LCQ teams. We thought maybe, however, they made some more regions. Those are taking up those spots. I think it's pretty safe to assume that if any more regions get added, that's going to fill up the top 16. Probably not going to be getting those spots. Talk to me, why is this so upsetting that NA and EU are only getting 2? They are getting the larger amount of seats. Other regions are only getting 1, but they're smaller. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
There is an insane amount of talent. I can't speak much for EU. I don't watch EU too much. I kind of have a bad little opinion about EU a little bit, mainly because anytime I played them, I just do good against them. But like that's not to say that I don't like support them and love
9
them all the same.
EU
I want
kryptonite
them
confirmed. Okay.
Yeah, I want them to have the same chances as us, because in terms of like talent and like setting up tournaments and everything, like grassroots, like they've been there too. And the insane amount of talent in NA alone is just like, imagine like having those matches at Worlds, like on the world stage, where fucking like thousands of people are going to be watching that. Like that's so hype. Like
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a pretty harsh take on that. Not everyone's gonna like, but the way I think about it is, you know, if you don't think you can beat them, then you might as well just stop playing the game. You know, sure. So the 2 spots for me, it's, I mean, it is what it is for me. If it doesn't get changed, it doesn't get changed. Like I don't know.
Free, I'm more on the side of you. I have been historically, but I definitely see both sides. I think I land a little bit more in the middle.
Definitely.
But my I mean. If you lose first round of the playoffs, you don't make it to the Super Bowl. You know, like there's like there's situations elsewhere. Yeah. But I get it. Like these other really, really small regions getting only 50% of the spot, it is frustrating. I definitely think in future time we will see more transition. Like we'll probably see format changes. I would be shocked if the like first time they ever do this, first time Pokemon ever really endorses like actual esports teams and stuff like that. I'd be shocked if we get it right the first time. Right? There's definitely going to be changes.
Yeah.
So I think petitions like this are a good thing, even if we don't see change immediately, guys. Like if your players speak your mind, definitely. I mean, Pokemon may not listen immediately, but overall, like they may not make sweeping changes right away, but in the future you are helping shape the game. So I don't want to shame anybody from like talking about these things. They could have whatever opinion you want, for sure, but showcase it. And I think that's a good thing to do. But
it's healthy.
Absolutely. But the one silver lining of this is that, guys, regionals are going to be such an important deal and are going to be really, really big. Like, I mean, March finals coming up, the February finals have been hyped so far, but I really think that these regional events have just such a good chance of being banger tournaments. Like, because they're like, there's so much on the line, not to mention prize money's pretty solid in these regional tournaments. Like, that's a chunk of change. And then, of course, the world slots, which are, I'm assuming, way more important to you and your squad. But Hey, the money's nice. But you guys are going to have a lot to play
money
for.
Talks,
so,
bro. Yes,
absolutely, money talks. Absolutely. So yeah, Tessenda Rosa, going to be two teams definitely pushing for those world spots. Guys, we've talked a lot, but I want to know kind of where you guys think. You already said you were feeling very confident, feeling like you were better than other teams we talked about on this podcast so far, for sure. Where do you guys think you rank in a NA? Do you guys think you're the best one in the team? Top three? Top five? Top 10? Where do you guys think Tessenda ranks right now?
Top three.
Okay. Confident top three from nine. Anybody else on the show?
Yeah, I'm going to say top three as well. I'd back him up on that one.
Okay. Gotcha. Coding, Walt, Hero, any thoughts on that? Where you guys think you land?
I normally, I would say top five. I like to be a little...
little more conservative than these two boys. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I say top five. We're on Ron. You know, that's I feel like the mental things we got to work on the most. You know,
sure.
We get our mental together. We're hitting all cylinders. I think that's why we're a very underrated team. We catch you off guard. You never expect anything. You know, we'll beat these guys, but we come out. We're firing all cylinders. We're on. You know, even though we might say nine's all. You know, inting. You know. We got each other's back.
It's for a cause, baby. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, never mind.
Too much gas. All right, that's taking quite a bit of a beating. But okay, my last question I usually am asking in these interviews is just what makes your team stand out? But I feel like we got so much of that already coming out this show. You guys got composition. You guys got energy and personality for days. Tessenda is a hype team to watch. So guys, make sure you're tuning into these dudes. But one question I do like to end the show with on, and I'll do my spiel every time, is that we talked about the scene growing already, and this is a podcast for the pro community, but I'd also love if people who are just trying to get into competitive Unite are tuning into this show, and if a player, you know, they made their way up to Masters, they're competing, they're trying to find a five stack, join a team, I'd like to give them just a little bit of a help, you know, just a quick YouTube clippable moment. I'd love just a tip from each of you guys, specific to your role if you can, but it can be totally general if you wanted to, about what you think makes a good player go to a great player. Like, when they join a team, how are they going to start finding success? Like I said, you can make it about your role, you can make it about anything, totally up to you guys. Freak, why don't you kick us off?
So in the bot lane, my tip would be to try and learn every role in the bot lane, because the more you learn every role in the bot lane, the more you understand the other roles. So even if you're not playing those roles, you understand what they can do and what you can't do and all this stuff. And so I think that's definitely something you should consider doing.
Absolutely. I love that. That's a really, really good tip. I think that's how I've grown as a player too, the most. You just try out everything in your general area. You get to know what your teammates beside you are thinking, what they're afraid of. It's definitely going to help. Okay. Nine. How about you go next?
I feel like I have more of a general tip. I guess I would have a tip for bottom lane. I don't really have one for jungling. So I guess it's kind of two.
Okay.
But I guess in the bottom lane, if you're not using your health as a resource pool, if you're not taking damage while at the same time dealing damage, I feel like you're wasting potential, especially if you're running focus ban in the bottom lane. If you're not at least trying to get the value out of that item by trading, then you're not doing the right job.
Mm-hmm. A healthy amount of inting is good. I hear you.
I guess in general, just being able to come out from a victory or a loss, especially a loss, especially one that's out of your control, and being able to see okay, we lost, it's not that big of a deal, but what were some minor things that I could have done better to make that at least more winnable?
Okay.
I feel like just staying humble about it. I know I talk up a big ego game, and I will go off on a spiel on that, but at the end of the day, if I lose a game, I'll admit up to my mistakes and I'll look back. Even if I won, I'll know that there were some minor things that I did wrong. Especially against the games of classified, I know that there were some things that I did wrong. I could have done better, but yeah.
Totally. I hear
my advice. That's humility and being humble.
Okay. I think that's really good. Really, really good advice. Okay. Awesome. Walt, why don't you go next?
I think a big thing is probably that I'll tell everyone is just when you lose, it's just to piggyback off nine, understanding why you lost and what you could have done to change the outcome of the game, whether it be your own individual play or team play and bringing it up to the team if you are on a team, and definitely the mental. Okay. Having a strong mental fortitude makes or breaks the game. I know I have a very short fuse and get tilted really easily. And that's something that these guys are helping me to maintain or keep me in check, because it's sort of like when I'm tilted, it's my comms are useless. I'm calling everyone out on the stupidest, smallest things that I don't agree with. But yeah, try your best not to get tilted. And honestly, at the end of the day, just have fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, avoiding tilt is going to be good, especially when, like, I always compare it when you're playing online with people too. It's so easy. Mute Devin, you know, ditch the call, just total tilt. But yeah, working through some of that stuff, keeping those vibes up, going to be a really important one. Definitely, for sure. Coding, you're getting a lot of hype in our chat right now about the bars that you're about to drop for a tip. So just know that you've been pushed to the front of the stage. The spotlight's been shone on you. Look, Coding, give me a tip that makes a player go from good to great.
I'd say film.
Okay.
If possible, it's not even just yourself. I always tell like these players, because you could just go into a game, you know, do your own play. You think you're doing things right until you watch a top team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what took my game to the next level. Just watching top teams, especially as a top laner, the best time to engage, because sometimes you just dive whatever you want.
Mm.
They typically the joke like the code, you try to keep a leash on them because I go in, you know.
Uh-huh.
As a Zacario. So but there's always times of I always look at my own gameplay because that affects a lot of the team. Because, you know, I say me and Nine are like the carries of the team damage wise, you know, and making those big plays. So it's just when to engage, how to engage, is your team on the same page, and a lot of film and just looking back and seeing scenarios, oh, could I have, you know, done this better? But a main thing, like obviously with the top laner, is just like win your lane, and then find the right engages during team fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the hashtag LaFax. I'm seeing it a lot. That type. Okay, it makes a ton of sense. And awesome, Kuro, why don't you finish us off with your tip?
All right, so my tip, it's like it goes down to everyone basically, because I still see this a lot nowadays.
Okay,
is that honestly the biggest thing that you can do in this game wrong is like questioning people's calls all the times. Like the reason why people lose a lot of games is because people are sitting there for like 10 seconds on a 50-50 call, like not knowing what to do. Because it's like the game is only 10 minutes. You don't have 10 seconds to waste arguing about what to do. If you join when I join AO stacks and stuff, or like other stacks with random people, I acknowledge that there's one person here making calls. If they make a wrong call, I'm still going to follow it, because it's better to have 100% of the people following that one call than just half of them following one call and then another doing something else. And then that both calls are destined to fail. So that's like one big tip, is that whether you think the call is wrong or not, you should probably just at least have everyone on the same call no matter what.
Yeah. No, that's a really fantastic tip. Okay, to send up bringing in the absolute knowledge there. That was fantastic. Thank you guys for getting those tips. So new players, look out. Pro players who aren't following these by now, you better get on it. The competition is heating up for sure. But to send up, as we're ending, getting close to the end of the show, I just want each of you guys to be able to plug your stuff. This is your chance. Sell out, shout out, whoever you want to, whatever you need to. Where can people find you, watch you, all that stuff. Freak, how about you? Social, Twitch, whatever you want.
My Twitch is okay freak on Twitch. You know, we're always kind of, I'm high energy no matter what I'm playing, even if it's kind of boring, to be honest, or if I'm bad at it. So I try to be as energetic as possible, especially if I'm with Nine and we're playing. You know, sometimes we like to break out the fall guys, and I joke about hot tub streaming too, because I got a hot tub.
Nine and freak hot tub stream is a legitimate thing that's gonna happen.
Worlds is getting better and better. I'm
you can also go and like to send esports on every social, I think.
Okay.
We got all that up. It's not posted anything yet, but we're working on it.
No problem. You got the Unite Mike's retweet, you got it. All right, to send a go check it out. Lacoding, how about you?
So I'm Lacoding on YouTube. That's probably my biggest following. I've been starting a stream on Twitch, as well, Lacoding.
Okay.
Easy. no one else took the name, so I mean,
hey, there you go. You snatched
up. Let me get some shout outs. We also have two subs, you know, we're working on Ari okay. site. And Leozo. Give them a shout out. A shout out to our ICR manager. I'm gonna give a shout out to Ragtag's actually making moves in this last tournament too. It's like this last bracket was just insane. Seriously. It was like so many upsets. Yeah. It's just so crazy. My boys Ragtag are doing my work, you know?
Okay, yo, shout out to Ragtag's for sure. Hey, tell them to hit me up as well. Love to have them on the podcast. Of course, try to get as many teams. And yeah, I'll plug that stuff at the end though. Okay, Lacoding, are you all set? Anything else you want to plug before I move on to the next one?
Yeah, I'm sweet. Good.
All right, Nine, take it away.
Man, y'all know where to find me at twitch.tv/9unite, twitter.com/9unite. You know, I don't be posting as much on Twitter, but my streams banger every day, 7 p.m. EST. Sometimes I take a break, though. Don't blame me for that one. But just about every day, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm streaming, practice, whatever. You know the vibes. I want to give a shout out to the old Everlife boys. You know what I'm saying? Lofu, Talion, Reaper, Jaster.
These are some hype
names. Y'all. I love y'all, bro. I love y'all.
Yo, shout out. Definitely.
I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for them picking me up in the beginning. So That's some love right there.
Bit of a mic drop for sure. Awesome. Okay, Walt, how about you go next?
No shameless plugs, just some shout outs.
Okay.
First of all, huge shout out to my wife and our son who should be sleeping right now, but stayed up to watch the podcast.
That monster. Oh, you were referring to your son before.
Yes.
Oh, my word. Okay, so first up, guys, I just have to apologize. For those listeners asking why I'm apologizing right now, you mentioned you said that your child's name, and then, sorry if they make an appearance, they've been loud. And I was like, ha, yeah, my dog does that too. Totally thinking that it was like,
you didn't see that?
No. I didn't see that.
No, so sorry. I did not mean to compare my dog to your kid.
Oh, no worries. No, okay, he's cool. Honestly, they're both there. They watch every tourney. Even when my wife's at work, she'll turn on the stream on her phone. Nice.
You're already so getting nice the kiddo on VOD review? Okay. The Tessenda Baby Blue is on its way. We gotta get a baby team.
Baby Blue.
Speaking of which, Blue Kiro, why don't you end us off with these shout-outs?
Well, for my social media stuff, I have Twitch, blue_Kiro, and then for Twitter, I have CFS_Kiro13. I used to tweet on there a lot. I do random drawings here and there on there for like random skin designs for Unite.
Oh, I love
and that. And then, yeah. And then as for shout outs, I just would probably just give a shout out to all the people in the Egg Kingdom who brought me from, like, because I used to be really shy and I used to not play with a lot of people, but like they kind of like brought me into the community too. So like I probably wouldn't even be here with Tessenda if like I didn't meet them first, and like Morning, Momo, and Hiroki, and played with any of those people. So
that's
I'm very
awesome.
Grateful to be playing with everyone.
Yo, good Sijuai. Good vibes, hey, no. Good love, good shout out to Sijuai for sure.
Tessenda Purple some love too. Those boys be killing it.
Yes, Tessenda Purple, and then the newly minted Tessenda
Rosa. Also shout out to Icy. Find him on AOS Frontier if you need some carries.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, and huge shout out to Umada.
All right, tons of shout outs. I love it. Also, I gotta say, shout out to Icy for sure. My favorite thing was that your team manager in chat, when you guys were like talking about London, was like, 12-hour flight. Like, your poor manager is already like, how am I gonna get these morons plane tickets? So, I'm excited for that, dude. So, okay.
I'm gonna fly to Florida first so I can get on the plane with Freak, and we're just gonna have a good time on the plane, bro.
Awesome. Yeah, first class private plane, it's gonna happen.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, for Unite Mike shoutouts, pretty simple. Always going to be the same. I'm at ZoinksCast on Twitter. Go follow me. But check out Unite Mike's here, Twitter, YouTube. Go follow, like everything this podcast we put there, as well as our other podcasts that we have, Late Night Unite with my co-caster Dude Snacks, interviews different members of the scene, content creators mostly, but also pro players. Just had the IX owner. And speaking of which, that's going to be my last shout out is, guys, if you haven't heard already, Unite for Ukraine is going to be a tournament upcoming a really exciting format. We're going to be doing this weekend, there's going to be a draft. So we have like a few GMs chosen, players, community members are going to be going through classic fantasy football style and picking from a pool of Unite players that have volunteered and just making some hodgepodge random teams. It's going to be awesome. And then they're going to play the next weekend on Sunday. So the day after the finals, it's going to be a ton of fun. And the entire thing is for charity, going to be raising money for Ukraine. It's going to be a really, really fantastic tournament. And for the draft, you can tune in right here. So twitch.tv/UniteMics, we're going to be hosting the actual draft on this channel. You can check out me, Dupe Snacks, and Goof from Gaming Gladiators is also going to be on the show. It's going to be so much fun. So follow this stream, follow Twitter to get any updates on times and things like that. Make sure to tune in. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. Rate, review the podcast, blah, 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 blah. All the love. But anyways, let's wrap up this show. I have been Zoinks for Unite Mics. This has been Team Tessenda. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Thank you so much for joining us in chat, everyone. Until next time, have an awesome week. I'll see you guys later. Goodbye.
Y'all have a damn good one.
Damn good one.